Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Yud Dalet. This perek concludes the discussion of the husband's obligations to his wife during his lifetime. There are six of these altogether, as we learned in Perek Yud Bet, three whose sources in the Torah, She'er or Mizonot, Ksut and Ona, and three more added in the Tna'ei Ketubah, Rifuah, medical care, Pidyon, redeeming her if she's taken captive, and finally, Kavura, seeing to it that she gets a proper burial if she dies before him. The last two prakim focused on Mizonot and Ksut. Most of our perek is an elaboration of the third Torah obligation of Ona, conjugal relations, including the dinim of husbands who flout this obligation, and an extended discussion of the Moredet, a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband. The last part of our perek covers in a more concise manner the rabbinic obligations of refuah, pidyon, and kavura. Halacha Aleph. Ona ha'amura b'Torah. L'chol ish va'ish kefi kocho u'kefi melachto. Ketzad. B'nei adam ha'biri'im, harakim v'hanugim, she'en lehem melacha she'machshelet kochan, ela uchlin v'shotin v'yoshvin v'atehen, onatan b'chol layla. Ha'poalim, kegon ha'chayatim, v'ha'orgim, v'ha'banayim v'chayotzei behen, im hayta melachtan ba'ir, onatan pamayim b'chol shabbat. V'im melachtan b'ir acheret, onatan pam achat b'shabbat. Ha'chamarim, achat b'shabbat. Ha'gamalim, achat l'shloshim yom. Ha'malachim, achat l'shisha chodashim. Tamnei chachamim, onatan pam achat b'shabbat. Mipnei she'tamu Torah, metesh kochan. V'derech tamrei chachamim l'shamesh mitatan milelel shabbat lilelei shabbat. The word ona means season or set time and refers to the obligation of the husband to provide his wife with conjugal relations at regular intervals. The exact duration of these intervals depends on the husband's health and on his profession. If he is healthy and does not engage in work which tires him out, then his ona is every night. This obviously depends on what his wife wants, and our halacha means that the husband must be available every night if his wife wishes it. If the husband has a trade, like if he is a tailor or a builder who works in the same city, then his ona is twice a week. If he works in another city and spends more time and energy in travel, then his ona is once a week. For a husband engaged in transport, the truck drivers of earlier times, his ona depends on how long he is away from home at a time, which in turn depends on the mode of transport. If by donkey, his ona is once a week. If by camel, once every 30 days. And if by ship, once every 6 months. Talmidei Chachamim who devote their time to learning have an ona of once a week, even if they are home every night, because Talmud Torah drains one's strength. The custom of a Talmud Chacham is to have relations with his wife every Friday night as a form of onig Shabbat. Halacha Bet adds that a wife may prevent her husband from leaving on an extended business trip, which will cause him to miss his ona, and she may also veto her husband's wish to switch his occupation from a job with a more frequent ona to a job with a less frequent one. But a Talmud Chacham is permitted to leave his house for an extended time to learn Torah, even 2 or 3 years, without his wife's consent. Similarly, if a husband with no work, whose ona is every night, decides to become a Talmud Chacham whose ona is once a week, his wife may not prevent him from doing so. Later in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam addresses what happens if a healthy man becomes sick or weak and is unable to have marital relations at all. In this case, we wait up to 6 months for him to return to health and full strength, because 6 months is the longest ona of sailors. If he is still sick and weak after 6 months, his wife has a choice. She may either agree to remain married and give up entirely on her right to ona, or she may demand a divorce and receive her ketubah in full. Halacha Gimel. Nosei adam kama nashim afilu mea, bein bevat achat, bein bazo acharzo, ve'ein ishto yichola la'akev, ve'hu shiye yachol liten she'er kesut ve'ona karaui l'chol achat v'achat. Ve'ino yachol achof otan lishkor mechatzer achat, ela kol achat v'achat la'atzma. A man may marry as many women as he wishes, and a wife of his may not prevent him from marrying more wives. We note that this is Torah law, but a cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, which took effect a millennium ago, forbids Ashkenazim from taking more than one wife. polygamy was practiced among Jews in Sephardi lands for much longer, in some places like Yemen until the last century. But this died out as well, as most of those Jews moved to Israel or elsewhere in the Western world. When a man takes several wives, he must have the means to provide each of them with mizonot and ksut, including a separate home for each one, because he may not force his wives to live in the same home or even to use the same courtyard. Interestingly, unlike the obligations of mizonot and ksut, in which each additional wife requires further expenditure, the obligation of ona requires no further expenditure on the part of the husband, no matter how many wives he has, as Halacha Dalet explains. V'chamahi onatan, l'fi minyan, ketzad, po'el shayilo shtei nashim, yesh la zo ona achat b'shabbat, v'la zo ona achat b'shabbat. Hayulo arba nashim, nimtzeit onat kol achat mehen, pam achat b'shtei shabbatot. V'chein im haya malach, v'yesh lo arba nashim, tie onat kol achat mehen, pam achat b'shtei shanim. Lefichach tzivu chachamim, shelo yisa adam yater al arba nashim, af al pi shiyesh lo mamon harbe, kidei shetagia lehen ona pam achat b'chodesh. The ona of each wife depends on the number of wives. For example, a tailor who works in the city has an ona of twice a week, as we learned in Halacha Aleph. If he has four wives, then he splits this twice a week ona among the four of them, so that each has relations with him only once every 2 weeks. If the husband of four wives is a sailor, whose ona is once every 6 months, then each wife gets to be with him only one night every 2 years. Therefore, Chazal commanded that a Talmid Chacham marry no more than four wives, so that even with an ona of once a week, each wife will get to be with him no less than one night of every month. We note that other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, including the Ramach in the Hasaga here. According to them, ona, just like mizonot and ksut, is a right belonging to each individual wife. And if a husband has four wives, he must be available to each of them at the ona interval matching his profession. So if he is a sailor with four wives, he must be available to each one of his wives at least once every 6 months. If this weren't the case, claims the Ramach, then a wife should be able to prevent her husband from marrying another wife, just as she may prevent him from switching jobs, because in both cases, she loses out on the frequency with which her husband can have conjugal relations with her. The Rambam must believe two things. First, that the interval of ona depends entirely on the husband's time and energy, and does not represent a distinct obligation to each wife, like mizonot and ksut. And second, that while a wife may intervene to prevent her husband from switching from a more frequent ona interval to a less frequent one by changing professions, she has no veto power over an action which does not change his ona interval, but just forces her to share it with other women. Halacha Vav. Hamadir et ishto mitashmish hamita. Shabbat achat mamtinin lo. Yater al ken yotzi v'yiten ktuba o yafer nidro. Vafilu haya malach sh'onato l'shisha chodashim, shekivan sh'nadar harei tzi'ara v'niti asha. V'chitzan madira. Im amar la tashmishi asur alayich, o shnishba shelo yishamesh mitato, lo nadar klum, v'nishba nishba lashav, mipnei shehu meshubad la. Amar la, hana'at tashmishech asura alay, harei ze neder, v'asur l'shamesh, she'en ma'achilin et ha'adam davar ha'asur lo. If one forbids his wife, through a neder, to engage in marital relations with him, then we tolerate this neder for up to a week. After that, he must either get his vow annulled or divorce her and give her her full ketubah. Even if his ona is less frequent than once a week, like if he is a sailor, the fact that he made the neder and lets it stand for more than a week causes his wife distress, and she loses hope of any further intimacy. But we have to understand how the husband is able to make a neder like this in the first place. He cannot simply say, "My conjugal relations are forbidden to you as a neder," because he owes her these relations, and therefore may not forbid them to her. We saw in Perek Yudbet that the Rambam sees no problem for the husband to forbid to his wife property of his which is meshuba to her as a debt, like for mizonot. But this is not the same thing. His conjugal relations are a concrete act which he is obligated to perform, and so he has no power to forbid them to her. And if he were to take a shavua rather than a neder, forbidding himself to engage in relations with his wife, this too would be ineffective, and even constitute a shavuat shav, an oath taken in vain. A shavua to violate an avera has no validity. And we saw in Perikid Bet, and the Rambam reiterates here in Halacha Zayin, that one who withholds ona from his wife when he is strong and healthy is in violation of a lo tasa. To explain how this neder works, we may perhaps rely on the way we explain all the nedarim of the last parak in the name of the Magid Mishnah. But the Rambam, based on the Gemara, provides a simpler explanation in this case. The neder is formulated in a backhanded manner. The husband doesn't forbid anything on his wife. Rather, he forbids on himself the pleasure he would get from engaging in marital relations with her. So she is forbidden to him, rather than the other way around. And since we never force someone to do something which is forbidden to him, his neder is binding, and all Beit Din can do is coerce him to divorce and grant a ketubah if he does not get the neder annulled. Halacha chet. Ha'isha shemana bala mitashmish hamita, hi hanikret moredet. Besharlinota mipnei mamarda im amra ma'astihu ve'ini yechola li ba'elo midati kofinoto lotzi l'shato. Lefi she'ina b'shivya, shetiba'el l'sanuila, v'teitse b'lok tuba klal. What about the reverse situation, in which the wife refuses to have relations with her husband? This is known as a case of moredet, a rebellious woman. Beit Din begin by asking her to explain her actions. The first possibility is that she says, ma'astihu, I detest him and cannot willingly have relations with him. In this case, Beit Din force him to divorce her, because she is not a captive who can be forced to engage in relations with a man she hates. However, she does not get any of her ketubah in this situation, because the ketubah is meant as a check on the husband's power to divorce his wife. But here, it is she who is forcing the divorce upon him. She gets to take with her everything she brought into the marriage, but she must return to her husband everything she received from him, including all gifts and even the clothes she is wearing, if he bought them for her. The Rambam's opinion in this case of me'astihu is strongly rejected by other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush believe that even if the husband is obligated to divorce his wife in this case, Beit Din may not force him to do so. And if they do, then the get is considered forced and therefore invalid, as we'll learn in Hilchot Gerushin Perek Bet. The problem with the Rambam's opinion, according to these Rishonim, is that it gives any woman a quick way to get out of her marriage whenever she meets another man and wishes to marry him, rather than remain married to her husband. She can just say, I hate my husband and I can't stand living with him anymore. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of these other Rishonim against that of the Rambam. Halacha Tet. V'im marda mitachat bala kedei litzaro, v'amra hareini mitzaeret oto bekach mipnei she'asali kach v'kach, o mipnei she'kilani, o mipnei she'asaimi miriva, v'chayose b'verim eilu, sholchin la mibei din v'omrin la, hevi yodat she'im at omedet b'merdech, afilu ktubatech mea mane hifsadet ota, v'achar kach machrizin alea bevatei knesiot ovatei midrashot b'chol yom arba shabbatot zo achar zo, v'omrin plonit marda al bala. The second possible reason she may give for her rebellion is that she is taking revenge on her husband for something he did to her. In this case, Beit Din warns her that if she continues on her current path, she will lose her entire ketubah. They announce in public, in each Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash, every day over the course of 4 weeks, that she is a moredet against her husband. Halacha Yud. V'achar hachraza sholchin la pam shnia, v'omrin la, im at omedet b'mirdeich, hivsad et ktubateich, im amda b'mirda v'lo chazra, nimlachin ba ut abed ktubata, v'lo yela ktuba klal, ve'ein otin la get ad shneim asar chodesh, ve'ein la mizonot kol shneim asar chodesh, v'meita kodem aget ba'ala yorsha. After the 4 weeks, Beit Din tell her one more time that she is at risk of losing her ketubah. At this point, if she doesn't end her rebellion, then she loses her ketubah and no longer gets mizonot. She does not receive her get for another 12 months, in the event that she has a change of heart and wishes to remain married, in which case, adds the Rama, her ketubah would be reinstated. If she dies during those 12 months, the husband inherits her. Recall that in Perikid Bet, we raise the question of whether Yerushat HaBaal was based on the formal kinship between husband and wife, like other types of inheritors, or if it simply represents one of several monetary rights a husband has to his wife's property. Our conclusion was that the Rambam accepted the first understanding, and we saw the suggestion of the Avnei Miluim that if Yerushat HaBaal is based on formal family kinship, then it remains in effect until the marriage is officially ended due to divorce, even if the Ishut relationship ended earlier. The Psak of the Rambam here, that Yerushat HaBaal applies even to the husband of a Moredet until she actually receives a get, therefore matches perfectly the Rambam's understanding of Yerushat HaBaal as it emerged from Perek Yud Bet. Halacha Yud Bet. V'chein arusa shigia zmana linasei, umarda kdei litzaro v'lo niseit, harei zo moredet mitashmish. V'chein yivama shelo ratzat litiaben kdei litzaro, kaseder hazeh osin lahem. Two other examples of Moredet are an Arusa, who refuses to go through with Nisuin when the time for it has come, and a Shomeret Yavam, who refuses to undergo Yibum with her late husband's brother. In both cases, again, only if she does this as a form of revenge against the husband or against the Yavam, not if she says Me'astihu, in which case the din for the Rambam is different as we saw in Halacha Chet. The second example of Yibum depends on the important question, which we'll discuss when we get to Hilchot Yibum v'Chalitza, of whether Yibum is preferable to Chalitza or the other way around. The Rama writes that for Ashkenazim, who see Chalitza as preferable, there is no rebellion on the part of the Shomeret Yavam in refusing to undergo Yibum and insisting on Chalitza instead. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hamoredet hazot, kishi yotzeit achar 12 chodesh belo ktuba, tachzir kol davar shu shel bal, aval nechasim shichnisa lo uvlayotehen kayamin, im tafsa ein motziin miyada, v'im tafasan habal ein motziin miyado, v'chein kol ma shetabeid min nechaseh, shekibel habal achriutan alav, eino meshalem la klum. Like the wife who says me'astihu, the Moredet, too, must return to her husband upon their divorce everything she received from him. But unlike the first woman, the Moredet does not automatically get to keep all the property that she brought into the marriage. We'll see in Perek Tet Zayin that this property splits into two types, one of which, Nichsei Tzon Barzel, is considered to belong to the husband for the duration of the marriage. In the case of a Moredet, any of this property physically held by the husband in his possession when he gives her a get does not need to be returned. And if he damaged any of this property, he is not required to pay for it as he ordinarily would. The only Nichsei Tzon Barzel which return to the wife are the parts of it still in existence that are not physically held by the husband. Halacha Tedvav. Hamored al ishto. Va'amar hareini zan umfarnes aval eini ba'aleha mipnei shani senetia mosifin la al ktubata mishkal sheish u'shloshim sora shel kesef b'chol shabbat v'shabbat v'yeshev lo yishamesh kol zman shetirtze hi leshev va'af api shektubata holechet v'nosefet harei hu over b'lo tase shenamar lo yigra shim sana yishalach aval la'anot asur v'lama lo yilkeh alav zeh mipnei she'ein bo maaseh. A man who refuses to have relations with his wife out of spite, even as he agrees to support her financially, is fined in the form of an increase in the amount of his ketubah by the weight of 36 barley seeds, sora, of silver each week. Recall that a husband can divorce his wife against her will, and if he decides he doesn't like his wife, that is what he should do, but he should not remain married to her and make her suffer by not being able to have relations with him. The Gemara in Masechet Ketubot refers to the amount of this fine of 36 sora each week as 3 dinarim. A dinar of pure silver is equal to 96 sora. But recall that the Rambam understands all monetary amounts regarding the Ketubah to be in Kesef Medina, which is only 1/8 silver. So a dinar of Kesef Medina is equivalent to 12 sora of silver, 1/8 of 96. And hence, 3 dinarim comes out to 36 sora of silver, as the Rambam says. The husband and wife can remain married, with the ketubah growing in value due to the fine, for as long as the wife wishes. But as we saw in Halacha Zayin, she can at any point demand a divorce and the full payment of her ketubah, including the fine. despite the growing value of the tuba, the husband continues to be in violation of the lo taseh against withholding ona. There is no malkot for violating this lo taseh because it is a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. He violates it by simply abstaining from having relations with his wife and not by actively doing anything. Halacha Tetzayin discusses a thorny case in which one spouse accuses the other of withholding marital relations and the other side flatly denies it. There is only so much Beit Din can do in this case. They start by declaring a general cherem, or curse, on anyone who is moreed against a spouse in a marriage and refuses to admit this in court. They then ask the husband and wife to seclude themselves together, with witnesses standing outside the room. The hope is that the presence of witnesses outside will prevent the offending party from continuing its merid. But if this doesn't help, Beit Din may not have the witnesses stand inside the room to determine who is telling the truth and who is lying, because it is forbidden to perform an act of bia in front of any observers. If it is relevant, concludes the Rambam based on the Yerushalmi, then Beit Din can encourage both sides to talk to each other and reach some sort of compromise, but there is nothing else they can do at this point to attempt to establish the truth. This concludes the discussion of Ona, and the Perek now moves to the details of the three rabbinic obligations which apply during the lifetime of the husband, beginning with medical care, refuah. Halacha Yud Zayin, Haisha Shechalta, Chayav Lerapeota Ad Shetavri, Ra'ash Acholi Aroch, V'Afsid Mamon Harbe Lerfuah, V'Amar La Harei Ktubateich Munachat, O Rapi Atzmeich Miktubateich, O Hareini Megarsheich V'Noten Ktuba V'Holeich, Shomin Lo, V'Ein Ra'ui La'Sot Kein, Mipnei Derech Eretz. If someone's wife gets sick, he must provide for her medical care until she is entirely cured. If he sees that her disease is long-lasting and that it will be very expensive to cure her completely, he may present her with a choice. Either agree to cap the spending on medical care at the amount that is written in her ketubah, say 200 zuz, or he will divorce her on the spot and pay her the ketubah, following which, of course, he will have no further obligation to provide for medical care. Though this course of action is permitted, the Rambam writes that it is inappropriate and does not reflect derech eretz, the type of thing that a fair and honorable person would do. Halacha yudchet, nishbat chayav lifdota. Im haya kohen shekvar nesra alav, podeota umachzira lebeit avia. Vafilu hayu beir acheret, metapel ba ad shemachzira lemdinata. Umegarsha venoten la kol ktubata. Haya bala Yisrael, Shashvuya muteret lo, machzira lo lisha kamot shaita, vimratza acharkach, migarsha venotein la ktubata. If one's wife is taken captive, he is obligated to redeem her. If he is a Kohen, his wife is forbidden to him, because it is assumed that any woman taken captive was raped during her captivity by a non-Jew, rendering her a zona who is forbidden to a Kohen. Therefore, he must return her to the city where her parents live, and there he must divorce her and pay the entire sum of her ketubah. If the husband is not a Kohen, then he may continue to live with his wife as before. Halacha Yotet. Ein mechayvin et habal lifdot et ishto b'yater al dameha, ela bameh shehi shava, kishar ha-shviot, hayu dameha yater al kedei ketubata, v'amar hareini megarsha v'zo ketubata, teilech v'tifteh et atzma, ein shomin lo. Ela kofinoto ufodeota. Afilu hayudamea ad asara bichtubata. Vafilu ein lo ela kede pidiona. Bamed vrem amurim, befam rishona. Aval im pidaya venishbat pam shnia, veratza legarsha, hareze megaresh. Viten ktubata, vihi tifte et atzma. The husband is not obligated to pay more to redeem his wife than she is worth, that is, than the price that would be paid to purchase her as a slave, just as all captives are redeemed only for their market value. From the language of the Rambam, Ein Mechayvin, it sounds like the husband may, if he wishes, spend more than this amount to redeem his wife. But the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch understand that for the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch who quotes him verbatim, the din for one's wife is the same as for any other captive. One may not pay more than her value to redeem her, lest this behavior encourage further kidnappings. But the Ramah disagrees and applies the principle of Ishto Kigufo. One's wife is like an extension of himself. When a captive wishes to redeem himself, he may pay as much as he wants. And the rationale of preventing future kidnappings is not binding on someone who is trying to purchase his own freedom. based on Ishto Kigufo, just as one may pay whatever he wishes to free himself, the same applies to redeeming his wife. The Gra adds in the name of the tour that one is even obligated to spend as much as necessary in order to secure his wife's freedom. In contrast to the din we learned in Halacha Yud Zayin about refuah, the husband may not cap the ransom money at the value of the ketubah by divorcing her or suggesting he may do so and simply giving her the ketubah money and nothing more. Even if the ransom demand is 10 times the value of the ketubah, the husband must pay this amount. But this is true only the first time she is taken captive. If it happens a second time, this is beyond the scope of the rabbinic obligation of pidyon imposed on the husband. In this case, he may divorce her and give her the value of her ketubah, which she may then use to ransom herself. Halacha chaf. Mi shnishbat ishto v'hum bimdinat hayam beitin yordin lin chasav u'mochrin b'achraza u'fodin ota k'derach shabal podeh. Hamadir et ishto neder shu chayav biglalo legarsha v'litin ketubata v'nishbat achar shidira eino chayav liftota shemi'et shidira nitchayev legarsha v'litin ketubata. If one's wife is taken captive while he is away from home, then Beitin sells his property in auction format to the highest bidder, the Hachraza, and uses the proceeds to redeem his wife. If one's wife is taken captive after he has made a type of neder, in whose wake he is obligated to divorce her and pay her the value of her ketubah, we saw examples of this type of neder earlier in this parak and in the last two prakim, then he does not redeem her, just gives her the ketubah money after divorce. Halacha Chaf Bet adds that if one's wife is forbidden to him as an Isser Lav, like if she is a Mamzeret and he is a non-Mamzer Jew from birth, then he is under no obligation to redeem her, because this obligation only applies when the man and woman are permitted to continue living together. It's true that a Kohen must redeem his wife from captivity even though they can't live together, because she is a Shvuya, as we explained. But that case is different, because she was permitted to a Kohen before she was taken captive, unlike here, where the Isser Lav represents a blemish on the marriage from before the captivity. Halacha Chaf Gimel. Meita ishto chayav bikvurata v'lasot la hesped v'kinim k'derech kol ha'medina. Vafilu anisha b'Yisrael lo yifchatu lo mishnei chalilin u'mekonenet. Vim haya ashir hakol lefi kvodo. Vim haya kvoda gadol mikvodo kovrin ota lefi kvoda. Shaisha ola im bala ve'ina yoredet vafilu lachar mota. The final obligation of the husband during his lifetime is kvura, burying his wife properly. This requires only a minimal funeral if he is poor and so is she. But if he is wealthy, then he must pay for a more honorable funeral, and so too if she is wealthier and of higher social status than her husband. The rule in general, which applies even after the wife passes away, is Haisha ola im ba'ala ve'ina yoredet. The obligations of a husband toward his wife must be carried out at his own level of wealth and status, or at her level, whichever of those is higher. Halacha Chaf Dalet. Lo ratza likbor et ishto, v'amad echad midat atzmo ukvara, motziin mibala ba'al korcho, v'notnin laze, kidei shelo tiye zo mushlechet laklavim. Haya bimdina acheret, kishemeta ishto, beitin yordin lin chasav, u'mochrin b'lo achraza, v'kovrin ota lefi mamon habal, u'lefi kvodo, o lefi kvoda. If the husband refuses to bury his wife, and some friend or neighbor does so, then Beitin will seize property of the husband to pay him back. In this way, the third party has no reason to hesitate before laying out his own money to pay for the funeral, because he is certain to be repaid. Beitin does this so that the body of the deceased wife will not lie unburied for longer than necessary, which would be both an avera and a disgrace to her honor. Like regarding mizonot, if the husband is away when his wife dies, Beitin sells his property to cover the cost of the burial and funeral. And also like mizonot, because burial is an urgent matter which cannot wait, this sale is executed quickly without waiting for the highest bidder, like Beitin does for pidyon, as we saw in Halacha Chaf.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.